Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and today I am here with, I think, a local celebrity, Aaron Ripper Rapinski. And with a name like that, boy, people have to know who the heck you are. But Aaron, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here finally.
I know, and it did take a little bit of, you've been busy actually for the last couple of years. So I know it's been a little busy, but that's okay because now you're here.
I'm here, and now I get the official invite to the big party, right? That's
yes, January 4th.
That's what I'm looking for, January 4th, baby.
January 4th, people, we will be having a party here, except for if you weren't on the podcast for the first 52 episodes, you won't be invited, unfortunately, but you will be.
Yes.
So, anyways, you requested root beer.
I did.
And you know what? We have never had root beer on here.
Well, fantastic.
Let's pop these bad boys. We're having some 1919 root beer. Cheers, Aaron.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah. That's good root beer.
You know, a big misconception is, because I've grown up working in the bars, is that I drink. I have nothing against it, but I've never drank.
Oh, okay. I
can make a complete fool out of myself without drinking, and I have many, many times. But that's why I said, let's do root beer. Kind of fits with the theme.
Sure.
And 1919 is one of my favorites, but I'll tell you, honestly, my favorite root beer is Lakeview Drive-In.
So that is mine too. However, I want them on the podcast before we have it on the podcast. I want them to introduce it. Maybe in the spring they'll come on and go over their events, maybe for the summer or whatever it might be.
They'd be the ones to have. I'll tell
I
you,
think
if you
Timmy Glow needs to be on this.
Get Tim and his daughter. Boy, that would be something.
Know. That's what I want to do, is get Tim and his daughter on here. And hey, I got right there. Just put it right there. It'll be easier
Fantastic.
For you. Fantastic. So yeah, like I said, you've been busy over the last couple of years, you said. And for one, I want to extend a congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Because something major in your life just happened. And I'm going to ask you probably some dumb questions because of the fact that I'm not big into politics. However, you are. So you just won an election.
I did.
And holy smokes, what was it for specific?
Well, I ran for a state seat for House of Representatives to be a legislator. So I'm excited. So I'll be in the House starting in January.
Starting January. And so what is your job specific that you will be working on?
I'll be introducing bills, working on the budget, working on how money is spent in Minnesota. And the whole reason I really ran is to bring a little bit more fiscal responsibility, some common sense, and some balance to Minnesota.
Sure. Now, you have many things. People know you for many things in Winona specifically. How did you get yourself in deciding you want to get into politics? Because it can be, from what I understand, it can be a gruesome game. The most friendly of relations.
It can be. And I'd love to share some stories with you if you like.
Oh, that's what we're here for.
Fantastic.
We want to hear stories.
I originally got into politics. I did student council and stuff growing up in school off and on. Never had the chance to do model legislature, but I did student council. And I think I've always been kind of a voice for people. When I had the opportunity to run for city council 4 years ago, I took that opportunity and fortunately I won. And I represented the entire city as an at-large position. And that's what really got my foot dipped into the political world. And through that, it gave me a chance to be a voice for Winona. And through that process, the opportunity to run for a state seat came up. And I was asked, and I decided to take the opportunity and try it. And fortunately, I won, and now I get to prove myself for all of Winona and be a voice for our community, for District 26A, which is about the entire Winona County area.
Okay. Now, how does the opportunity approach you? Does someone say, hey, Aaron Ripper, I think this is a fantastic idea for you? Or did someone say, hey, you've done this kind of in the past a little bit, but do you want to do it now again? How does that come up?
That's a great question. And this is probably the first time I've really addressed that publicly.
Perfect.
Besides just friends. It was approached 4 years ago. And when you legislate at that state level, you're gone from January through about May. And my son River was still in high school. And I had kind of loosely been approached and with the question of, is that something you'd be interested in? And I said, yeah, I'd be interested someday. But with my son, my youngest, still in high school, I didn't want to be gone for that amount of time. And so fast forward about a year and a half ago, I was approached again. And they had said, you've got a pretty good reputation in town. You've done really good things on the city council. Would you be interested in running for a state seat? And I said, well, let me talk to my wife, because that is not a me decision. That was an us decision. And we talked about it and prayed on it and weighed the pros and cons and realized that I'm going to be gone for a while, for a couple of weeks. And I had a few individuals that are currently elected officials approached me. And after I agreed to run, then the HRCC, the House Republican Campaign Committee, reached out to me. We had some interactions, and it literally snowballed from there. And fortunately, I've had some really good mentors, Jeremy Miller, Pam Altendorf, Steve Jacob, Steve Drazkowski, just some of our local officials have reached out to me and helped and been mentoring and helping me learn kind of the process. And, you know, literally gave me some great advice. And I was fortunate to put a team together in the Winona area that, you know, really is the masterminds behind the whole operation. Jerry Papenfuss, my campaign manager, I've often used the analogy that he's kind of the guy behind the curtain with the Wizard of Oz scenario.
Okay.
Jerry has been fantastic, has a lot of contacts. He's been in the game for literally half a century, if not more.
Wow.
And I mean that literally. So he's been really good. And I know I couldn't be not only elected, but where I'm at today without the help of good people around me and all the things I've done. And I'm sure we'll touch base on a lot of those things. But politically, I was able to put some really good people in my corner. Amy Lang was my finance person. Jerry Obigalow was on my team. Jared Comro, Tony Walensky. Jerry Papenfuss was kind of my main team. And Ann Pappas-Wing was my media person.
Okay.
So anything you saw online for Rapinski for House or my website all kind of went through her with her assistance and helping with verbiage and pictures and all the stuff that is a much bigger animal than you expect it to be, because it took off and it just was so much bigger than I thought it would be.
Sure. Well, I mean, you see what happens out there, like on the major level, but then you're still at the local level, but there's a lot of work behind that as well, right?
There is. People don't understand how many phone calls city council members get, and literally everything from, hey, my neighbor's grass clippings blew on my grass, and I pick them up, and they don't. Who's going to pick, you know? I had an individual call me one time when the a group within the city put ribbons around trees to mark potential trees that the ash bearer would be affected. And I had a person call me that was upset that there was a ribbon on the tree, because what if it fell down? Who's going to pick it up?
Oh, man.
And really. And it was for a great cause. And I literally said, you know, ma'am, if it falls, call me. I'll personally come over and pick that ribbon up off your ground. The amount of phone calls you get is incredible. And I look at individuals like George Borjakowski, who's been on the council for decades. The amount of phone calls and conversations he's had and all the good he's done just in Ward 4 in the east end of town where I'm from over the years, the business development, Sobieski Park, and so on. So it's daunting. And now I'm really looking forward to the craziness that I'm going to instill here for the next 2 years at the House.
So it's a two-year thing, every 2 years?
Two-year commitment.
Okay.
And, you know, people often say, you know, once you get elected, you're already starting to campaign for the next one.
Right, because you just told me not like about a week ago, you said, this has been like 2 years in the making. Well, as you just said, it's every 2 years. So basically when the last person got in, you're already kind of on the cusp of, am I going to run? Am I not? And then you started to, and it's about, what, a year and a half of campaigning?
Yeah, it's literally been a year and a half since that first initial conversation happened.
So not much more time until you have to campaign again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your team was made up of a lot of local people around the Winona area, is that correct?
Yeah, all local people.
Okay. And how many, you named off a bunch of them. What was roughly the size of your team that was helping you out?
My core team was about a half a dozen individuals.
Okay.
And then we had a few other people that really helped, a lot of volunteers, people from the BPOU, people from college Republicans at Winona State. So there's a lot of different organizations that helped out. that really helped put me in the place I am today. A lot of volunteers down at the Republican headquarters, handing signs, getting names, getting addresses, folks I may have door knocked on, and they were willing to get a sign, and they came down and picked up a sign. So, but my core group was about a half a dozen, and probably dozens and dozens of other individuals. I mean, even as far as people walking in parades to support me. I mean, we'd have 20, 30, 40 people show up to come and walk in a parade on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon. And
in the summer.
In the summer. On a weekend that people are out on the river and camping. And, I'll tell you, Chris, it's a humbling experience to really see the amount of, not only the amount of excitement, but the amount of dedication that people are willing to come out. And some of these people, I knew them. You know, I knew their name or they were familiar, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't friends with them. I didn't know them. Now, fortunately, over the last year, I've made many more friends. And I can tell those people are truly friends of mine, very like-minded individuals. But for someone to say, sure, I'm going to come out with my family and walk in that parade for you on a Saturday afternoon in 90-degree weather and be excited to do it. That can be pretty humbling.
So you ran on the Republican side, is that correct?
I did, yes.
And who was against you then on the Democratic side?
Well, originally when I decided to run, it was Gene Pawlowski. Okay. And Gene has done a lot of really great things in our area over the past decades. He's been in the seat for 38 years.
Wow.
I believe about a month and a half after I declared I was going to run, Gene decided to step down. He had some family issues, and as you probably know, his wife passed away, unfortunately. So Gene had a chance to spend more time with family, and he retired. And then they had two individuals run in a primary. Those two individuals were Dwayne Bagley and Sarah Kruger. And I guess that primary was incredibly tight. And Sarah Kruger won the primary by a little bit. So she was my opponent for the election on the Democrat side.
Mm. You know, actually, Dwayne Bagley was one of my teachers at the high school.
Really?
Okay. Yes, he was. So I knew him. He still knows me. When I see him, I only had him for like one class. So, but you know, okay, so Gene was on the Democratic side. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the one thing I just noticed, you talking here just very quickly, you didn't bash on anything of him. Now, when I see a lot of political things out there, and granted, it's mainly the presidents, they're bashing on each other. But you sit here and you talk very highly, like, well, Gene had it for 38 years. You may have known his wife passed away. He stepped down. You didn't say, oh, something. You could have said very negatively, but you talk very highly. And I feel like there's a lot of that people don't understand. They don't see that portion. You just see the, oh, this person sucked because blah, this person wants to do this. They stink, whatever. But you spoke very highly of it, and I think that just speaks highly of who you are as a person as well. And so you decided to run. I got so many questions that are just flying through my head right now. What was one thing that happened that you did not expect to happen, whether it was positively or negatively? You spoke on people coming out and supporting you in a parade in 90-degree weather. I mean, for those who don't understand, if you're listening and you're not from Winona, you understand that we are a very summer comes. It's camping, it's river, it's everything else. But you had people come out on a weekend wanting to support you, walk in a parade. Is there anything else that came out that was like, holy smokes, whether it was good or bad, that was like, I can't believe these people are doing that?
I'll give you an example of both. On the good side, we were able to run what I consider a very clean and professional, polite campaign. And we can talk more about that a little bit later.
Oh, yeah, we will.
But the amount of people that were willing to invest in my campaign was incredible. That was so surprising and humbling. I mean, there were times I knocked on thousands of doors, and people came to the door and would literally give me a $25 donation. And a lot of the people I knocked on doors, they're not in a position to or they've never donated or, you know, invested in a campaign, but they're willing to do that for me. Many of them without even asking. So I did not accept any money from PACs or lobbyist groups. We were very grassroots. We had between, I think, 300 and 400 different donators, which is a great feat in itself. So it was very grassroots, no PAC or lobbyist money. very, very few big donations, you know. So the flip side, the negative thing that surprised me, first, everybody got the mailings, you know, saying this and saying that.
Yes,
and I wanted
we did,
to
yeah.
end abortion, and I wanted to end IBF things, and I wanted to stop the pill and nonsense, you know. The negative ads against myself, my wife, my son, that hurt. You know,
yes.
that hurt. And a lot of these people, when you start to look at them, I just quit looking at Facebook. I quit looking at social media because every single day I'm reading things about me that aren't true.
Sure.
You know, I'm anti-gun. I want to, it was, some of the stuff was so outrageous. Now, I understand that's politics, but when my team and I sat down and Jerry Papenfuss and I had some real heart-to-hearts, and I said, I am not going to be negative. I don't want to come throwing stones. I think that might be one of the reasons that I did as well as I did in the election. You know, I often say I'm not really a politician. I'm just a normal guy that had the opportunity to be a voice for others my entire life, and this is just a continuation of that.
Sure.
And I think people respect, and I've had a lot of, I have a lot of friends that are Democrats or very middle of the road individuals. And I've had a lot of compliments on my campaign and how I ran a nice, clean campaign. And that's nice to hear, you know, and I had a lot of Democrat friends that voted for me. If you drove around the city of Winona, you saw signs that had Harris Walz and an Aaron Rapinski sign right next to it.
Wow.
And I had a lot of phone and comments and friends and stuff, and family would take pictures of those signs and send them to me. And I'm like, well, don't post it online, because there are some people that on both sides of the aisle that get a little extreme. And I never wanted somebody's house to be vandalized or something because they had a wall sign and a Rapinski sign, or, you know, I don't think that's right. I think that's just overstepping the bounds. But for me, the one of the big surprising factors on the negative side was all of the flyers and misinformation about me personally that was out there. Now, I understand that didn't come necessarily from my opponent's campaign. A lot of that is PACs and lobbyists. I can't tell you how many times I said, look at the bottom of the flyer and read who it's coming from. If it said Rapinski for House, then that's me. If it says something else, it's some PAC group lobbyist that funded that. And that's on both sides, because there are some things that went out that I didn't know anything about, and I got questioned about a lot.
Really?
And like, I don't know anything about that flyer.
Holy, so now I want to go back on that, because I didn't know any of that. So if you look at the bottom of the flyer, it says who produced. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And it has to. That's by law. It has to say who's funding that. Or a billboard.
Or a billboard. Okay.
You know, my campaign purchased two billboards. And as you know, they're expensive.
Oh, very much.
And I understand the last number I heard was they spent, and I say they as the other side, all combined, $1.5 million against me.
Wow.
Which is crazy. To think that that kind of money is out there just to keep a seat at the state level, Democrat, if you will, it just astounds me. I can't believe it.
Wow. So on the bottom, if it said what it was for you, if it said Rapinski for House, that was coming
that was
directly
me.
From
yep.
your campaign?
There were a couple of, I think the flyer or two we put out, basically talked about being a hometown person.
Okay.
And had a picture of me in a park with some individuals talking, you know. But yeah, all the other flyers for and against me.
Yeah, I remember seeing that commercial.
Yeah, said on the bottom of that flyer, it would say who paid for it.
Now, what does it mean when it says, like, PAC? I'm assuming it's PAC. It stands for something?
Yeah, Political Action Committee.
Okay, so if it said PAC, or what was the other one?
Some sort of lobbyist group.
That was from the other side, which would have been Sarah's side?
Yep, from Sarah's side.
Okay.
And again, and I openly communicate this to people all the time. I say, understand, it's not Sarah putting this stuff out. That's just, that happens on a national scale.
Sure.
Just like you saw stuff for Trump or Walz or Harris or, that's just all part of politics. That took me a little bit to get used to.
Oh, I
you know,
bet it
in
did.
My own mailbox, I'm opening up things of what a bad person I am. And I'm like, well, this isn't true.
Wait, did you get
this
your own stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's
but
great.
It's weird. When you look at how they're going to send those flyers out, you can put it in different sections. And they can kind of tell you this area of town is more Democrat, this area is more Republican. And
sure.
They will put targeted mails out, just like you would if you're advertising on Google or Facebook.
Right, right.
You can kind of really pick and target your stuff. So that on the negative side, that was the real eye-opening,
surprising thing. That would be weird, getting mail that's going against you, getting mail in your mailbox,
yes,
saying, I suck. For whatever reason.
Chris, I have a stack about 3 inches high of that. Just came to my house. Just stuff that was addressed to me, my wife, or my son.
So I got so much of that. One day, I think I got 4 pieces of mail, and I'm like, what is going on here? I'm getting 4 pieces of mail. And so my buddy has also said the same thing. So for those who are listening, look at the bottom and see who it actually came from, because you'll notice who it came from, because you just told us. If it said something on the bottom, that was who it actually came from, because by law, you had to put
by
that
law,
on there.
By law, it has to say paid for by.
Oh, gosh.
And I would get friends that would call me, and they'd say, hey, Aaron, you don't have to keep sending me stuff. Save the money.
Uh-huh.
And I'm fiscally responsible when it came to our campaign. You know,
sure.
When you look at that initial campaign finance report, which is out there on the Secretary of State website, and during the primary, I had spent, I think, about $16,000. And which that, to me was a big
thing?
Number so far up to that time,
oh,
up to
okay.
the primary. Their side had spent $50,000.
Okay.
Now their primary was a much tighter primary, but
sure.
Yeah, it just to think about that kind of money to me was nuts. Our campaign, Chris, a lot of people don't understand this. Our campaign for that seat was only allowed to spend just under $90,000. That's all I could spend.
Okay.
And that was my goal to raise. I'm
sure.
Like, if we can raise that amount, that was my goal. From the last numbers I've heard, the Republican side with, you know, PACs, lobbyist groups that are pro-Republican, a little over $600,000, I think, was spent on my side.
Okay.
Not by my campaign, but by the Republican side.
Sure.
Those were the last numbers I saw a few weeks ago.
And what was the other side then, the Democratic side?
I was told about $1.5 million.
Oh, wow.
You know,
so
it was definitely
double.
Over a million. I've heard 1.2. I've heard 1.3. I've heard okay. upwards of 1.5.
Sure.
It's amazing. To think about that amount of money being spent on your behalf, just to flip the seat,
it's pretty
as they
humbling.
Say, it's very humbling.
Yeah.
And there's some pressure that comes with that.
I bet.
You know, there's not only the pressure of me wanting to do the best thing I can and be the best voice I can for Winona and really bring not only balance to Minnesota and some fiscal responsibility and some transparency, but really help our area. That's for me, that's really what it's about.
Yep.
You know, and when the HRCC first spoke to me, I said, you know, I'm about Winona County, District 26A first. Sometimes you'll see, because the Metro has more people, they have more of the funding, they have more of the mm-hmm. finances go to assist them. When rural Minnesota, greater Minnesota, Winona, for instance, Winona County, we should be getting more money for streets, more money for public service, more money for housing. More, you know, there's a lot of funding out there. My goal is to try and get as much as I possibly can to the Winona area to help our folks.
Sure,
out.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing I really understood about you, and not that because I knew you personally before this, so I'm like, oh, what a great guy to be running for this. But I always saw you out doing things. And it wasn't, I mean, you came literally here where I'm recording. You came to our housing association meeting and talked personally to us. You were out doing things personally on your own. I think your wife was as well. I'm
yep.
pretty sure she came to my house in the summer.
She probably did.
And she came up to me and said hi. And I'm like, you don't have to give me one of those, but if you need to, that's fine. Yeah, I already know what I'm doing. And she talked to me for a couple minutes, and she was literally, your wife's going around the neighborhood, circling it by foot, doing all this campaigning on your behalf. And that's got to be such a humbling experience. And then, like you said, it comes with a lot of pressure. Like, you got to perform now, all right? So how do you take all that pressure, and then how do you decipher, like, am I doing a good job? Am I not doing a good job? How am I going to do a good job? I don't want to let these people down that really believe in me.
Yeah. Well, first, you have a wife at home that's ready to tell you exactly how to do it.
All right.
Yell at me for not door knocking enough. Or, I'd be out on a Sunday for 3 or 4 hours door knocking, and I'd come home, and she'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I've got to go to the bathroom. And I think I'm done. And she's like, there's 2 more hours of daylight. You got to,
Right.
So she has been a driving force, but she was right out there with me. A lot of times, especially in the city of Winona, I'd hit one side of the street and she'd hit the other side of the street. Wow. And it became kind of a workout for me, especially. But, we go out 2, 3, 4 hours. Steve Drazkowski told me about a year and a half ago, when he was one of the initial people that spoke to me, he said, if you don't lose 50 pounds and go through a pair or two of shoes, you're not doing this right.
Oh, from no door kidding. Knocking.
And I laughed at him. And I'll tell you what, I'm down over 50 and I'm on my third pair of shoes. And actually, these are my son's shoes. They're a little big for me, but I've been wearing his lately.
Hey, thanks, River.
Yeah, thank you, River. Yeah, he probably doesn't know I'm wearing these right now. And he just came
He'll
home
find
for
out
Thanksgiving.
In a couple weeks.
So, yeah. But it was a lot of work. And as you said, it was a lot of pressure and stress. There's the humbling experience of going on someone's door who you don't know who lives there.
Sure.
Knock on the door, introduce myself. Fortunately, you kind of touched on the fact that I'm from Winona. I've been born and raised in this area my entire life. For a few years, I lived over in Fountain City, Wisconsin, because it was cheaper. And I've been fortunate to be part of some really great organizations and groups in Winona. The Winona Civic Association, the Elks Club. I've been a member there since, the early 90s.
Sure.
The Steamboat Days Association, just to name a few. So I've been involved in a lot of different things. And earlier when I said, I think I'm the kind of person that's been a voice for people, or I've always thought as myself as, you lead by example and actions speak louder than words. And I've been involved in Winona activities literally my entire life.
Oh yeah, I know.
And I heard that a lot when I was out campaigning. People are like, oh, I know you. You used to volunteer at the playground when my kid grew up, or you did music for my son's wedding, or you did, you're on the Steamboat Days Committee and you announced the parade and I love your little antics or what have you. That was pretty humbling to hear a lot of different things and get that kind of support.
That's awesome. So when you're doing all this door to door, because I feel like that would be, it'd be great, but also it's kind of awkward. Did you have someone just slam the door in your face, or a bunch of people slam the door in your face, like, get out of here, I don't want to talk to you?
I did. I did.
And how do you take that then?
The first 5 or 10 was difficult.
Sure.
Because I'm the kind of person, I want everyone to like me. I like everybody until you give me a reason not to like you.
Right.
And I always give people the benefit of the doubt. You hear things about people in town, and I don't like to judge them by what I hear until I've met them and spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I always give people the benefit of the doubt. But it was tough getting doors slammed and not even willing to have a conversation. And there were times when you go up to a house, and my wife and I joke about this. You go up to a house, it says, everybody welcome, and all these big welcome signs, and you knock on the door, and I say, hey, I'm Aaron Rapinski, and before I could even finish my name, they slam the door in my shut, or they yell a vulgarity at me, and I think to myself, I'm like, well, you don't even know me, but let's have a talk, or let's discuss an issue.
Sure.
What's important to you?
Sure.
Maybe we were on the same page on a lot of things, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. But they just saw that you're Republican and said, get out of here?
Yes.
That happens a lot.
And it wasn't even that I was Republican. A lot of people hate Donald Trump. And whatever you want to think about him as a person, I don't care for him. I'll be honest with that. I've said that publicly many times. But I like a lot of his policies.
Sure.
And it was often, it wasn't even about me. It was more about Donald Trump and a slam in the door. And I'm like, well, hey, we can agree on a lot of things, I'm sure. But don't judge me because of him. This is a state election. I'm not running for him. I'm running to be a voice for you. And I want to hear what issues or things I can help make better for your life in our area. Let's start there.
Yeah.
And some people weren't even willing to give me the opportunity. So, but that's okay. I understand. Everyone's different. And there were a number of individuals that invited me into their home.
I was going to ask you that. Did anybody invite you in?
Yeah, I was in... boy, I don't even remember what neighborhood, but I had we were talking about schools and how they're financed and stuff. And the gentleman asked me some questions, and I said, you know, I'm not as knowledgeable in that as I will become. I'm still learning, you know. What can you tell me? And he came in and he offered me a soda. We sat on his deck for about 20 minutes, and it was nice because it was warm and it was a nice rest. And I had a pop, and he told me all about, he was a retired teacher, and he told me about his experiences with funding for special needs and stuff in the public school system. And he told me right out, he said, I'll tell you, I vote Democrat all the way down the line. I said, well, thank you, but that, you know, I want to continue this talk if you want.
Sure.
And we started talking, and him and I were very like-minded on a lot of that. And at the end of the conversation, he said, you know, now that I've actually met you and we've had a conversation, he goes, you have my vote.
Wow.
And he goes, I'm going to vote Democrat down the line, but you have my vote. And sure. That was a very humbling experience.
That is.
And I didn't go into that situation trying to turn him at all. I just wanted to hear his perspective, his point of view, to better educate myself on some things. And he opened my eyes on some things that I never even thought about, that now I'm kind of researching and looking into a little bit. So that was a great conversation. And, you know, did he vote for me? I don't know. You know, he said he was going to. I don't know. And truth be told, I'm okay either way.
Yeah.
But he was willing to have that conversation. And that's how I want to approach things, is I'm a firm believer in being transparent and listening to all sides of an argument and making an informed decision.
Sure.
And I understand there's going to be times, even on the city council, that I have to vote some way because I represent the majority. You know, I may not have a feeling on it either way, or I may be indifferent, or I may be against that. But if that's what everybody wants, you know, I'm representing them. And I need to be a voice for them. It's not Aaron. It's the people, you know. So.
Right, yeah. Well, and that's crazy just to think about that. You went in and had a conversation. The guy says, I vote Democrat the whole way down, but you got my vote. And it's all because you sat down. And I think that's one thing that people need to realize when it comes to politics is most of us are very close down the same path. There just might be one or two policies go right or left that you disagree with or agree with that makes us maybe slightly different. But as far as most people, this is going from Winona a lot, and even some people outside of Winona, that if you really talk to someone, they're probably down the same path as you. I mean, nobody wants a ton of taxes taken out, and nobody wants high food gas prices and so on and so forth. And then there just might be a few things that you say, this is how I think, and then there's this that I think about. But I bet the majority, if you sat down, like you said, with someone, they probably are very close in alignment with you or someone, or your neighbor even. So that's really cool to talk about. And I was going to ask you, did someone invite you into their house? And you just said a 20-minute conversation. Yeah. They invite me in, and that's awesome because it's got to make you feel good too. But you knew getting into it what was probably going to happen. You're going to get some hate, and you're going to get some love. And then that's just kind of the way it goes. I mean, can you imagine being the president? Like 50-58.
Anybody that runs for the presidency, the amount of turmoil, and you know, on both sides of it, I can see, you know, Donald Trump, for instance, I can see why he would snap back sometimes. All that negative energy and comments, it's hard. It's very hard, Chris. And I'll tell you, even at, you know, a considerably lower level at the state level that I'm at, some of the comments and negativity I experienced, that I want to go on Facebook and make a comment and be like, well, this isn't you, but I don't want to open that Pandora's box and that can of worms.
Right.
You know, I had people be like, well, he's not even commenting about this. Well, you know, when somebody says that, it's like, you realize there's probably 100 comments out there about something that I would love to comment on, but if I do one, then I have to do them all.
Right, yes.
And I don't want to get into the keyboard warrior back and forth, because that's not advantageous for anybody.
Right.
And I tell everybody, my phone number is out there. Call me. If there's an issue, call me up. Let's talk.
Wow, really? You know? Your phone number's out there for someone to call you? No kidding.
All you do is Google me, and my number's all over there.
Oh, no. I mean, I feel like that's opening a Pandora's box. Like, I'm going to get flooded with phone calls.
But you know, and when you asked me about saying the negative side, I had people not only call me, call my wife, call my son, call family members,
called
call
your people. Son?
Oh, yeah. call people that have I've done business with looking for dirt and trying to catch them up on something. You know,
is there like a question they would ask?
Some of it was about guns.
Oh, okay.
You know? And gotcha. My wife got into a little bit of a conversation with someone about, you know, I have my concealed carry permit. I've had it for probably over 2 decades.
Sure.
And she has hers. And it was just people wanted to talk guns. And, you know, I'm very comfortable having a gun conversation. But the rumor out there was that I was anti-gun and trying to take guns away. And you know, I understand why they're there. And it's not just about hunting. But, you know, or reproductive rights, abortion.
Yeah.
Or housing or school funding or school choice or whatever it may be, they want to catch you. I've had people secretly record me. My wife and I have been out, and I have seen people's cell phones in their pockets.
Oh, sure.
Recording
me. Sure.
And if you're ever going to try and secretly record someone, turn your light off so they don't know that you're recording them.
That's
because
great.
I've had that happen a few times. unfortunately, we put a privacy fence up. We've had people come past our house videotaping. We've had pictures taken. I've had people go through my trash. I've had people cancel out their stuff on the tour boat that I have. I've had people go past my tour boat and literally like record me. That's a weird feeling. When you see people like Justin Bieber, Britney Spears, all these people that freak out on paparazzi.
Now you know why, maybe.
Well, in a considerably smaller scale. But I could not imagine going through that amount of criticism and skepticism and being analyzed every single minute of the day when you're in public.
Wow. Sure, yeah.
That, I mean, I can see why those people go crazy or go nuts or, you know, become a hermit.
Yeah, right. I get that too. Now, here's a rumor that I heard, and no one specifically told me, but one thing, and I had a chuckle when I heard it. One person said, not one person. It was just a general statement. Aaron Rapinski hates women. I go, what? I know this guy personally. He doesn't hate women. So my guess is it was along the reproductive rights of whatever that was where you stood. And I go, I know this guy personally. I've seen him. I see him multiple times a month. I know him. I've gone on sea-doo trips down the river with you. I'm like, this guy does not hate women. He has a wife. He has a family. I'm like, where are they getting this from? Well, I mean, like that would be so tough to, like you said, you go on a worldwide scale with Justin Bieber or you know any celebrity, like how they deal with it. And here we are in a little Winona, Minnesota county, which how many people does that even make up? Probably not even 100,000 people.
Not even.
And you're like, holy cow, how do they deal with it? I mean, I hear that kind of stuff. I got to laugh. I'm like, where are you getting your info from, people?
Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow sometimes when you hear stuff like that. And I always tell people, I'm like, you know what? If you don't know who I am, talk to some of your friends in the Winona area that do know me and get their opinion, good or bad. Whatever your friend tells you, trust it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, fortunately, being in the Winona area my entire life, I've had the chance to interact with a lot of different companies, a lot of businesses, a lot of organizations. And, you know, my reputation, my history speaks for itself. I don't hate women or races or any, you know, it's so funny the things you learn about yourself when you're running for politics.
I had no idea I hated women, but now I do, I guess. Okay, great.
It's funny, you know.
And, you know, another thing that came up, and I wanted to talk about this, and you kind of already touched on this a little bit, is I remember I'd be watching, like, YouTube, and then a commercial would come up, and it was sometimes a local one, and it was always against you, but I never had a commercial come up that was against Sarah on her from your campaign. I only got Aaron Rapinski wants fill in the blank. And then it was like an X through your face and all that. And I'm like, what is going on here? I'm like, and it's funny because I know you personally. So I'm like, I don't remember any of that happening. I don't remember him thinking any of that which way, because we've had personal conversations in personal settings, not a political setting. And I'm like, where are they getting their info from? And like you said, it might just be from the camp on their side. She had nothing to do with it. It was just a political thing. And getting dirt on people and just trying to persuade them one way or the other.
I think that happens at that level, you know, at the state level on all things, from what I've heard to other legislators that were elected that were in incredibly tight races. The Winona race, because there was a possibility to flip it from Democrat to Republican, and also one, Erica was her name, I can't remember the exact location. Those were the two top targeted races in the state of Minnesota.
Okay.
And now with those two seats flipping, it's tied. It's a 67-67.
Okay.
There is one recount still going on. There's 21 unaccounted votes that they're looking at trying to figure out what happened to those votes. And last I heard, I think the difference is 12 votes. So the 21 votes make a difference. So the Democrat candidate won, but they can't find 21 votes that are supposed to be there.
Sure.
And the Republican side is saying, hey, every vote should count. And if the Democrat wins, they win, fair and square.
Yeah.
That's what it was. But all those votes should be counted and be accounted for. So I think there's some current actions being taken to try and get those votes found and accounted for.
Well, and you know, that brings up another good point for some people who go, oh, I'm just going to sit at home, my vote doesn't count. It really does when it comes down to this sort of level. You know, you could maybe say in the grand scheme of president, you know, versus president, maybe your one vote doesn't count, but like you just said, you come down to this local level, and when you go to the voting polls, you're not just voting for the president, you're voting for all these other possibilities down below, and they do come down to 21 votes or 11 votes or whatever it might be that maybe are unaccounted for. So for those who say my vote doesn't count, my voice doesn't mean anything, it does at the local level for sure, because it comes down to that.
Every vote counts. You know, it's amazing how many people I spoke to that said they don't vote.
Really?
And I continually said to people at the doors, I said, you know, please get out and vote, even if not for me, but please get out and vote so everyone has a voice. Or the amount of people that, for instance, we talked earlier a little bit, that contributed to my campaign that have never contributed to a political campaign in their entire life.
Yeah.
And it could have just been $25 or $75 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they took the time to do that, and they're getting involved a little bit. And I think at the political level, hopefully everybody gets involved somewhat, you know, because everybody should have an equal voice. And that's all about the whole political scene across the board. People should have a voice, and that's how the elected official should act on those voices. So.
Sure. Well, yeah, so, I mean, now you got the win. That's awesome. You flipped the seat in the House. And so has it been a little calmer now in the last month since this has all happened? Has it been a little calmer? Because now it's kind of the calm before the storm?
It's still hectic, it's a different hectic.
Okay.
Is there a weight off my shoulders? Absolutely.
Sure.
You know, I would say I didn't sleep or eat for, like 3 or 4 weeks before the election, because you're so tense, and it's like I wanted to give literally 110%. Because I had so many people in my corner, and when you have, like you said earlier, it's a humbling experience. When you have that amount of people rooting for you, you want to do everything you possibly can.
Sure.
So there were times when I'd go out door knocking, and I kept telling myself, "Yeah, I'm tired, and I'm sore, and I'm hot, and I'm sweaty, and I just got, you know, three doors slammed in my face." But I'm like, smile. Go knock on the next door. And then that next door was a supportive individual and had a great conversation. And it just brings you back to earth a little bit. And it kind of gives you that drive. So I use that as a driving force to help push me along. But I wanted to give 110% to this because I had so many people in my corner. And I didn't want to let them down. Much like when you talk about the stress or a weight off my shoulders, for instance. Now, as I get into the seat and I get to be a voice and I get to listen to people, and I'm from here, you know, I love when I'm at Midtown Foods grocery shopping and someone comes up to me and says, hey, you know, what's your thoughts on this? And I'll ask them that question too. Well, what are your thoughts? You know, what are your thoughts on I just had a conversation here, as a matter of fact, at the Winona Housing Group.
Yep.
I said we were talking about the use of rifles in our area. For those of you that are deer hunters, you're not allowed to use a rifle here. You're shotgun only. Now, there are a number of shotguns out there that you can still shoot 200 yards. Will there ever be a time you can use rifles in our area? I don't know. but there are people for it and there are people against it, and I want to listen to both sides. And if that ever comes up, then I can have a more meaningful conversation with folks, and we can look at it and, you know, what does our area truly want? Do they want to use rifles or want to keep it shotgun only?
Sure.
You know, a lot of times you look at the argument against rifles that, you know, you're hunting in woods primarily here, and 300-500 yards, a rifle can be incredibly dangerous, where a shotgun, you don't have that kind of range.
Okay.
That's probably the leading argument against it.
I love that you're level-headed with this because of the fact that you're like, hey, let's hear both sides, and let's just kind of come to a conclusion that we can all agree on.
Well, you have to.
I didn't know anything until you just said that. You know, one is way more accurate at this range and this one's not, so it's a little bit more safe. You're looking out for safety is really what it comes down to. It seems like just from that quick little statement you said to me.
Yeah, it is. And maybe someday Minnesota will, northern Minnesota, you can use rifles, but it's not as wooded. It's more flat. It's, you know, you have to have conversations. And I think that has to happen on every aspect of politics. You have to have conversations. And if people aren't willing to talk and all they do is this, we're never going to get things accomplished. Yep. Nice thing now is both sides are equal. And there are going to be conversations being held on every single item that comes up. So there's going to be lots of compromise, and there's going to be lots of bipartisanship that go to the Senate and stuff. So it's going to be a real interesting time in politics. There hasn't been, the term I want to call it is a timority. You know, there's either side is not the majority anymore. Now it's a tie.
Okay.
So there's going to be a lot of conversations and a lot of negotiations and compromise and stuff
that's going to happen
in Minnesota over the next 2 years.
So I want you to take me just a real quick election night for you. I know you had a little get together with some people down at the Eagles here in Winona. What was going through your mind that night? How were you feeling? Nervous? How's that go?
I'll walk you through this. And this is the first time I'm talking about this.
Good.
Other than with my wife, because she was right there experiencing
everything. I bet everyone in Winona wants to know this.
Yeah. So we get into election day. And I went and got my haircut because I knew I was going to probably get some pictures and be in front of people. Got my haircut that morning from Nikki Poo over at Sheer Edge, I believe.
Okay.
And we had the get together at the Eagles. We called, my wife and I loosely called it a win-lose party. but, you know, a campaign thank you, so to speak.
Sure.
And basically opened it up to anybody who wanted to come down. And we had some appetizers and hors d'oeuvres. And if they wanted to drink, they could buy drinks on their own. And just a way to show support and have people come. As we're watching the national election on a big screen TV, and then we had, like you do, kind of projected our computer screen for the Secretary of State website that was constantly reporting as things were turning in. Initially, of course, I was scared. You know, I hoped for the best, prepared for the worst, is how I looked at it. I thought it was going to be a lot closer than it was. In the beginning, when the first numbers started coming in, I was trailing considerably.
Okay.
And then in the back of my head, I'm like, oh boy, I got to think of a concession speech and a phone call.
Sure.
And you start preparing for that, and you're still trying to put a happy face on, but you're watching, you know, I'm 100 votes down, I'm 500 votes down, I'm 1,000 votes down.
Oh, no.
And there's only 3 or 4 precincts reporting, and I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be interesting. And then I started kind of catching up, and I went back and forth and back and forth, and we were announcing the results as the different precincts came in, and fast forward to the end of the night where there's 3 precincts remaining and I have a very small lead. But the precincts remaining were what I would term heavy Democrat precincts.
No, okay. Oh, darn.
Two more precincts came in and they went my way considerably.
Wow.
So with the last precinct, which was precinct Ward 3, Precinct 1, which is essentially Sarah Kruger's mom and dad's backyard.
Okay.
Winona State. That section.
Oh, sure.
And with the potential of, I don't know how many college kids are going to vote. You know, how many kids are, you know, let's say there's 6,000 students at Winona State. How many of them are voting here locally? How many is going home to vote?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that number. And that number can change considerably.
Sure.
So I was 1,589 votes up with that precinct still remaining. Now, in my head, I'm thinking there is probably 2,000 to 2,500 potential votes to come in. Then the analytical side of me starts saying, well, Winona State's college students, roughly 30% of those college students are nursing program students, which is traditionally a blue field.
Okay.
Roughly 20% of those students are education students, another traditionally blue field.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm starting to look at it like, boy, if they have a good turnout, which Sarah's side was very, very actively campaigning at Winona State, and the College Democrat organization's very well organized, and they were really out in full force. I'm thinking to myself, and people at our get-together are excited. They're like, oh, you got this. And I'm like, hold, you don't know.
Right.
You know, with the biggest precinct numbers yet to come in, this could change just like that.
Sure.
But fast forward to bar closing time.
So about 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. The bartender, Mason, down there, great guy, great organization down there,
yeah,
starts to say, hey, you know, we need to start wrapping it up, and this number's still not in yet.
Oh, no.
And people have been trickling out as the night goes on. We end up closing the place down, and I go home. And I'm on my computer, on my phone, watching
sure.
nothing. And I'm wired, you know,
yes.
and can't eat, can't sleep. My wife went to bed. I'm up. It's 3:35 in the morning. Still no report.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, I have to try and get some sleep because I probably have a phone call to make tomorrow, depending on what's going to happen. And I have meetings. Literally at 8 a.m., I had meetings to be at.
Yeah.
Win or lose. And so I went to bed. Probably fell asleep about 4:30. Well, then I find out about 4:38, I think, is the time I heard it was finally reported that I had won. Those last numbers came in. So I woke up with some really good news. My wife woke me up about 6 o'clock in the morning, after probably an hour of sleep, and you know, congratulated me, and
sure.
And then of course my went on social media, and another humbling experience, Chris. Hundreds of people sent me congratulatory
yep.
messages. Again, stuff like, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I voted for you. You know, I know the kind of person you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe the stuff they're putting out, you know,
yep.
be a voice for us.
That
kind
shows
of stuff.
The person who you are, too.
Well, it was. And that was a good feeling. But the hundreds of messages, well, I spent almost 5 days, a few hours a day, just returning messages.
Sure.
And it might have been something as simple as, hey, thank you.
Mm.
But, you know, these were all people that supported me, you know. I didn't want to give them just a canned, hey, thank you. You know, yep. I wanted to be, hey, thanks, and I appreciate you walking in the parade, or I appreciate your investment in my campaign financially. I appreciate the kind words I've heard you tell people, you know, which is a whole nother conversation. We could spend hours just on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like yourself, the amount of times I'd be somewhere and you get a prominent person like you in town, a business owner, someone who everybody knows is saying, hey, you know, I'm voting for Aaron Rapinski. And they're willing to publicly say that.
Sure. Yep.
That meant a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that I was really fortunate for in this campaign is people did step up and say, you know, Republican or Democrat, they stepped up and they said, I'm voting for Aaron.
Yeah.
You know, they let me put a sign in their yard. I ran out of signs.
Ooh, nice.
And that was a whole nother thing. You know, Jerry Papenfuss, God bless his soul, is the most fiscally responsible person I know, more so than my wife. And it got to the point where Jerry said, we're not buying any more signs. And I ran into the predicament of people contacting me, and I'm like, yeah, we'll get you a sign. What's your address? Well, now I got to contact them and say, hey, I'm out of signs. We're 2 weeks away from the election, and I don't have any more signs to put out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we kind of had our budget, which we went over on signs. And we, you know, people say we took money from, literally took money from billboards, from my billboard budget and my radio budget and my newspaper budget to buy more signs. Because I think it's more important for someone that wants to put a sign in their yard for me to give them the sign that cost them, it cost our campaign, I know, $5 or $6.
Sure.
You know, by the time you look at the printing of the sign and what we call an H stake to put it in.
Yeah, right.
And we bought all our stuff local. You know, I could have gone online and ordered signs for probably half the price. But that's an important thing for me to do, was to do business entirely with local organizations.
Sure.
But to tell those people, hey, I'm sorry, we're out of signs. You know, luckily, then we ordered another 50, and I got as many as I could out there. But I probably had, and for those of you that are watching this and listening to this, that I wasn't able to get a sign in your yard, I am truly sorry. It wasn't that your house wasn't important or your location wasn't a great location. We just ran out.
Yeah.
We put them down at the Republican headquarters at 169 Market Street, and we had boxes and boxes of them.
Yeah.
And then when I put out there, hey, if you want a sign, go get down and get one, they went in like 2 days.
It's a good problem.
It was a good problem, but I didn't expect that.
Right, no.
So here I had told people, I'll bring you a sign, and I'm running all over town with my car, putting signs in yards and stuff.
Oh, I saw you too, because I saw you picking them up.
Yeah.
I was going to honk at you one day after the election. I think it was a day or two after I was going down Sarnia, and you were on the phone, and you were picking up yard signs. I was going to honk at you and just wait, but I didn't think you knew who I was. But I literally saw you on Sarnia Street picking up yard signs a day or two after the election.
Yeah.
So I know you're out there hustling.
Yeah.
Now, I want to get, so you get the win. Next day, you're like, oh, I feel great. I don't have to make that concession speech or concession phone call to my opponent. I assume Sarah calls you to say, hey, congratulations. What's that phone call like?
You know, to be honest, I don't know. I never got a phone call, which kind of surprised me.
She never called you?
She has not called, kind of surprised. I guess... And I don't know if that's the new way in politics. I'm a little bit more old school like that. I got a lot of phone calls from Dwayne Bagley.
Really?
He called me. A lot of people in his group called me.
Okay.
You know, a lot of friends of mine that are Democrats called to congratulate me. I did not receive a call from Sarah, but, you know, that's fine. That's okay, I guess. I don't know how to take it, but.
Well, you know,
it is what it is.
From what you just told me, you said Dwayne's side, you know, called you. But then again, Dwayne's like from here. Like, a lot of us know him, and I bet a lot of supporters know you as well on his side of things, congratulating you. And that's weird. I wasn't sure how those concession speeches go or phone calls, because I know that was kind of like a thing in the presidency. I wasn't sure if it worked its way down the line to, like you said, a smaller portion of it. And
I thought everybody did that, but maybe again, not. You know, I'm not your stereotypical career politician either.
Maybe she'll call you on the day you're into the House then.
Yeah,
maybe
that's who knows? You know, that's okay.
I've
seen Sarah at different events. We've talked. Her and I would say her and I get along.
Oh,
there's
great.
No contention. We've taken some fun pictures together. We actually were up in Wilson Fire Department, and they had a little fundraiser going, and both of us were there doing our campaign thing.
Oh, that's cool.
And with me being a former firefighter, I like to support stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a car there where you could hit with the sledgehammer, make a little donation, hit with the sledgehammer.
Sure.
Sarah and I hit that together a few times, and
okay.
It was fun. So I get along with her. If you know, maybe it is what it is. I'm no grudges, I'm sure our paths will cross. She's a she works for ranked choice voting up in the cities, which essentially is kind of a lobbyist group, if you will, to make Minnesota ranked choice voting. I'm sure our paths will cross. You know, I met some of her friends up there. Actually, some people that campaigned for her in Winona. I met them, and it was a whole another funny story. Long story short, we're sitting around a table and made really good friend with a lady, and it comes up. She's like, well, "Where are you from?" And I'm like, "Well, Winona." She's like, "Winona, I was just there a couple weeks ago campaigning for Sarah. Sarah's one of my friends." And I'm like, "Well, I'm Aaron Rapinski," and I introduced her. She's like, "You're the guy." We kind of laughed about
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
And she actually asked me the same question. How was the conversation with Sarah? And I said, "Well, I haven't heard from her." And this was the very first day I was up in the Capitol. They were doing orientation for the newly elected legislators, both sure. Republican and Democrat. Really nice lady, had great conversations about different issues. She didn't know I was Republican. I didn't know she was Democrat. I would call her a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a funny situation. You know,
and that's
laughed.
The thing. It's kind of funny though, because it wasn't like bad blood between the people who actually knew each other. Some of these ads make it seem like it's bad blood between each other, and actually, as you just said, which I didn't even know, you and Sarah were at events together. You guys took funny pictures together. You guys had to do things together, and yeah. It wasn't bad blood. So, I think that's good to know that. No matter what everyone's out there seeing, whether it's all the way up to the president or down to your local elections, it's not as bad as you might think. It's a lot of people are on the same page. It's just like, I might agree on this thing and you might agree on that thing, and that's what changes our vote. And it is what it is. We're all people as well. But as we're starting to wind down here with the last part, I want to go on to some of the more fun aspects of your life now that the stress is out of it. Yeah. You do so many things around Winona. I know you from so many different things, whether it's karaoke or maybe the Winona Steamboat days introducing bands. But you have your river boat company, your tours, and I think it's so cool because of the fact that I love the history of Winona. Some people already know that about me, but you give a history of Winona from the river side of things, and that I think is so neat. If people haven't gone on the riverboat tours, they need to. But how did you decide to get into that? Because you literally bought a boat and you started up a company of, I'm going to give riverboat tours, and obviously they can charter the boat if they'd like, and you go yep. down to Sullivan's and all that. But you're like, I'm going to give a history on the Mississippi of Winona.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't get this question as often as I think I should get it, actually.
Well, you're getting it now.
But here's the answer. So growing up on the water, my father, Roger Rapinski, River Rat, my mom, Patty, we camped all the time. And I grew up on the water, on the river here, watching tow boats drive by. Mm-hmm. And I thought, someday I want to drive one of those, you know. And fortunately, about 20 years ago, I went through captain's classes, got my master captain credentials, and had my master captain's license, and then started upping my tonnage. And pushed forward, myself and a few individuals bought the tour boat I have today about 11 years ago. And the three of us operated the first year. And then I had the opportunity, was I was the only captain, I had the opportunity to buy them out. And again, that was a Aaron and Michelle conversation. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it and kind of took that leap of faith. And we bought the boat out and started operating the tour boat. And it's like any small business. I'm not going to get rich operating it, but it's something I love to do.
Sure.
You know, I love the water. I'm born and raised here in Winona. Matter of fact, my son's name is River. And on the boat, we often say the joke, I'll introduce him, because that's a whole nother thing. I've had the opportunity to have my son work on the tour boat with me for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you do a lot of stuff with your dad,
yep.
obviously. And I'm sure he's really proud of this. And hopefully you either know it or you will realize how fortunate you are. I was able to work with my dad putting carpeting in almost my entire life. When I was young, it was every summer. I got to work with my dad. I'd do anything to spend a day with him. He's gone. But I had the opportunity to have my son work on the tour boat for literally 10 years. And now he's in school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's priceless.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully someday maybe he'll take the boat over or be involved a little bit more. And
yeah.
And he likes doing it, and he's a great speaker. So he'll talk on the boat. I talk on the boat. But when I'm out there, what you're talking about, me giving me kind of a history of the river, I like to talk about things that I think are interesting
mm-hmm.
or that people ask about. And then I can kind of regurgitate that information on my tours and not only tell people about, you know, the history of Winona, but how the river reacts to that and how it helped make Winona develop. And one of the biggest compliments I get is someone that's from Winona that will come on the boat and be like, and they'll tell me, oh, I've had a boat my entire life and you know, basically kind of tell me, well, I'm a river guy and great. You know, heck, I'll let you drive the boat. You know, and if you have some information about something along the river here, tell me, because that's how I learn. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always listening. But at the end of the tour, they'll come up and tell me, you know, I learned more about the river or Winona today than I've learned my entire life being on the water.
Sure.
That is the biggest compliment I can get on the boat, especially from a Winona yep. person. So we get a lot of repeat customers that every time they have family on the, in town or friends, they bring them on the tour boat because they want them to have that same experience. And I'll say, hey, we can do something different. You know, do you want me to do something different? They're like, no. I want you to say everything you said on that last tour. Well, my son and I don't follow a script. Literally, every tour is different. Now, I talk about towboats and how many loads, you know, 70 semi-loads per one barge, and I give all kinds of statistical information on pretty much every tour. But there's always things different. You're driving by in your nice jet boat.
And I'm say, hey, that's, you.
You're honking away. And I say, oh, that's my friend Chris. You know, and he's a realtor in town. If you're looking for a house, I can give you his name and number. You know, well, but every tour is different. Yep. So we've had tours where docks are floating down the river in the spring.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, and I say, hey, folks, excuse me. I'm going to make a phone call and I'll call my kid up and be like, hey, that's a dock from Latch Island or that's a dock from Prairie Island River. Can you take our work boat out? Go get it.
That's great.
Pull it to the side of the water line, tie it to a tree, and then we'll pull it back up to those people, or we'll stop at their house and let them know, hey, we got your dock at our dock or something. I always tell people in the spring are some of the funnest boat tours because when it's flooded, we're still out there.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different perspective when we could literally drive the tour boat right down the road of the levee.
Oh, sure,
and
yeah.
we go back by what's called Pollywog Slough across the river, and you see cabins. I say it's often like a car accident. You don't want that to happen to somebody, but when you drive by, you still want to look.
Yeah,
so when you see cabins that are half underwater and docks that are tipped upside down and boats that are half sank, it's neat to see that stuff because it doesn't happen all the time.
Right, yeah.
So some of those early spring tours are our best tours.
That's awesome. Yeah, and so you said your son's name is River?
My son's name is River.
How did you come up with that name?
Yeah, so we make the joke on the boat. I'll say, this is my son, River, and before you ask, I'll let him tell you why we named him that. And he'll grab his mic and say, because my mom couldn't spell Mississippi, you know. And now we've worn out that joke, and it was funny when he was 10. You know, and the little kid, now he's like 6'4" and my size. But we still make that joke sometimes.
That's great.
And now he's, you know, he drives a boat. He talks a lot more. He kind of has his spiel and I have my spiel and we kind of work it together, which has been really good because there are times when, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tours in one day, depending on what's going on in our area, it's nice for someone else to be able to speak and give me a little bit of a break. And, my son is an incredible speaker. I'm sure some people have probably seen him and he's been very accomplished in high school and he's doing incredible in college. His first year speaking, he got a scholarship for speech.
Oh, perfect.
Which I didn't even know they had.
I love that subject.
A talent scholarship. But you know, just sitting back on the boat and listening to him talk sometimes it's one of the most proudest things I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know,
well, one of my favorite memories that we've had together is when we took our Sea-Doos down to La Crosse. Is you, your wife, my wife now, and a couple of our friends. We all traveled down there on Sea-Doos through two lock and dams to La Crosse, Wisconsin, just for lunch. And then on our way back, I remember we got stuck behind a tow, and they were like an hour and a half behind. And I remember we went off to the side island where there was that fishing shack over there, and we had to wait for like an hour and a half. It was such a good day. It was such a beautiful day out, too. It was Labor Day weekend. I remember that. Such a fun time. And that's like whenever I think of people bashing on you, I'm like, I know this guy personally. There's no way. And I'm like, he is a very genuine guy, wants to listen to everyone. And I know him personally from just hanging out with him because I see you. Not only do I see you just driving down the road at least a few times a week, but I probably see at least once a week doing something, whether it's hosting something or whether it's when you were campaigning or whether it's just doing the riverboat things and we're being on the river in the summers too. So yeah. And I don't know if there's any more you want to add to the podcast. We've been going for an hour and 10 minutes. And
God, it went fast.
I know it did.
I was just wondering how long it's been.
Yeah, about an hour and 10 right now.
Well, you know, we share some common friends and you know, Paul.
Yeah.
Ebner.
Yep. Paul Ebner.
A lot of people don't know this, but I'm going to take credit for him getting into DJing.
Ah, Paul was that, Paul? Weren't going to get to where you were without Ripper.
Well, I'll tell you. Paul was one of the folks that came to my karaoke shows. And as you know, Paul is probably one of the best singers in town.
And oh, my gosh. When it comes to the 80s rock,
he's and all in. Anytime I can get him up on stage, especially when I'm emceeing Steamboat Days, I try and get him up. And I think what makes Paul even a better singer is he doesn't think he is. And he never shows off, and he's never
he's just doing his thing.
He's just doing his thing, and even Paul at 50% is incredible. You know, he's like, well, I'm like, Paul, you get up, and but he was one of the first folks that I actually approached and said, hey, you should be a DJ. You should get into this. Mm-hmm. You should do karaoke and stuff. And I had now to push and got him into that. I'll also take credit, Paul, for helping Paul. Put you and Jesse together.
Oh, because yes.
A lot of people don't know this, but they used to come to karaoke at Wellington's together.
Yeah, he told me the story, actually. And that's great.
I would always, and I probably never told Paul or Jesse this, but it was amazing. And Jesse's a really good singer, too, by the way.
Really? I've never heard her sing.
And that's a funny thing,
and
because she is a really good singer.
All right, and Jesse.
She... I think she likes to sing, but she doesn't like to sing maybe in public.
Sure, okay.
But Jesse's a really good singer. And I would always put Paul either right before or after Jesse. And then I'd always say, oh, just give him the mic. And then I'd stall a little bit so they'd have to, before the next song would come up, so they'd have to interact with each other a little bit.
Aww.
Little DJ trick for those DJs out there that don't understand that. But
Ripper Ripinski.
Yeah.
On the ones and twos, late nights, putting your love together.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Paul's going to actually, we're going to do karaoke here on that on the party.
Oh, fantastic.
I told him, I said, hey, would you mind setting up? It doesn't have to be the whole nine yards, just enough to have karaoke in the back, and we'll see how it goes, because I don't know what the acoustics here, how well it's going to, it might be louder than hell, and we don't even know. So I told Paul, I'm like, hey, would you mind doing that?
Yeah.
So he's
going to you say Ripper, and I want to address this because a lot of people don't know or understand. My Facebook name is Aaron Ripper Ripinski.
Yep.
And people ask, you know, why that? So I grew up in town and actually started working at the bars, in the bars at Bullseye, kind of dating myself
that,
for Dave Jensen Rab, good friend of mine, Dave and Cindy. But I started working at Bullseye, and my last name's Ripinski. And my uncle Jerry owned the East Side Bar, and everyone called him Ripski. And so my brother Jay and I always kind of had the nickname Ripper.
Sure.
And that's kind of where that nickname started. Was I was literally in high school, and everyone called me Ripper, and my brother Ripper, and that's just kind of how that nickname came. And my brother will tell you that he was the original Ripper.
Ripper Jr.?
Well, I was Little Ripper for a long time. But I'll tell you how I acquired the nickname Ripper is because my brother moved with Fastenal.
Okay.
Moved out of town, went out to Colorado, and had his own store and did really well. And with my brother gone, well, I was the Ripper.
Yeah.
So funny story was when he came back with Fastenal, still with Fastenal, everybody called me Ripper and started calling him Ripper's brother.
Oh!
Which he has a hard time with, but that's the truth. So to this day, most people will call me Ripper, and he's just Jay or Jay Rip or Ripper's brother.
Okay. That's great.
So if anyone sees him out there and you want to say hi, just say, hey, Ripper's brother. He'll know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, and he's gonna be like, oh, damn it, that's actually Little Ripper.
Yeah.
But now you're Big Rip.
Yeah, it's kind of a joke between him and I. And I'm fortunate having my brother in town. And you know, I hear different stories about family members that don't get along and stuff. But, you know, my brother's my best friend.
Yeah.
You know, now, we may not see each other for a few weeks or a month or so at a time, but... You know, parades, he was there.
Yep.
Helping me put signs up, he was there.
Nice.
Helping me connect with people, he was there. So got a great relationship with my family. Of course, you know, my wife is my biggest supporter.
Sure.
And I hers. But the campaign wouldn't have been successful without the support of my wife.
Well, yeah, and that's very true. Without family support, wife support, all that kind of stuff, things just aren't happening. When you're at your age and our age, without the support of the people that are closest to you, and then hopefully the community gets behind you as well, which I think that they have done a fantastic job. I know a lot of people have been behind you within the Winona area, and hopefully those who were maybe behind you now can be like, hey, you know what? I just listened to him on this podcast or maybe somewhere else go, you know what? I had more in common with that guy than I thought I did. And it's not absolutely. Because it's a red blue thing. It's a whatever, but, I want to thank you for coming on in. Yeah, this has been awesome.
I got to say one thing quick. Do it. You may wonder why I don't have a wedding ring on. My wife may see this and I took it to my friend, Jason Gamoki.
I need him on here too, talking about jewelry.
Oh, you got to get Jason up here. Absolutely.
Well, I play softball with his son, Hunter.
Hunter, great ball player.
I saw both of those guys coming here talking about jewelry, but go on.
Yeah, if you see that burgundy box, you know.
Yeah.
But I had to get it resized. It was falling off. Now that the weather's getting a little colder.
Because of all your steps.
Well, because of all my steps, my weight loss, which you want to lose weight, run for politics.
Run also, if you want politics. A bunch of stress, too.
Oh, geez, yeah. And door knock. I tell you what, door knock and run for politics. But my ring was falling off. And to the point where if I was working on something in the garage or whatever and I put a pair of gloves on, when you pull that glove off, a few times I forgot had to go back to the glove and it was in there.
That's good.
And now picking up signs the other day, about a week ago, I was picking a sign up and it fell off my ring finger. And I'm like, it took me about 10 minutes to find it in the grass.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, oh, boy, this, you know, I mean, my ring's nothing fancy. It's just a band.
Yeah, but it's sentimental.
Absolutely. Yep. You know, I would never want to lose it. And I've never taken my ring off, but now I had to get it resized.
Okay.
Well, they take it. And so I'm asking the really nice lady down there. I can't remember her name. Jason was helping another customer, but they cut it and they like do whatever to it.
Sure.
So it was, I'm going down to a size 11.
Okay.
Which, you know, they had you try on different rings. Yep, and you're like, well, we got to drop it a size. And I'm like, yeah, please do. Because I used to be able to go like this and pull it on and off really easy. And if I went like that, it would go ching, ching, ching.
Well, before anybody gets any negative things, he still loves his wife. This ring is just
getting
resized.
Wife and I are happily married for almost 20 years now. Everything is good.
So we don't need a negative ad coming
right.
out about,
I
hate his wife.
I figured I better say something because, you know, it's like, it's amazing how I'm trying to be more politically correct and you know, watch what I'm going to say or do. But I just took it down there.
Well, yeah. And Aaron, would you mind telling everyone where they could maybe look up tour boats or any info that they
absolutely.
Need about you?
Thank you. Our website's winonatourboat.com. If you did a search for Winona Tourboat, it comes right up. Obviously, our season is done right now. For those of you that are around the country looking to come to Winona, the water is really cold, and it'll have ice pretty soon, so we don't run in the winter.
Correct.
But it's amazing how my phone still rings asking, hey, we're going to be there in December. Can you have a boat tour? And I wish we could run. but winonatourboat.com is our website, and I'd love to get you out on the water and stuff. And I'll tell you what, you mentioned this episode. You mentioned you saw this episode. You watched to the end. I will buy you a drink on the boat or a snack or a beverage or something. All you have to do is say you watched this episode on the tour boat and your drink or snack is on me.
So if you watch episode 50, just mention Brews and Cruise, you get a free drink, snack, whatever on the tour boat. That's a great thing because that's like about $5-ish or so.
Yeah.
That's a great
$3-4 bucks, whatever it might be if it's a alcoholic beverage. But Chris, I want to say thanks.
Yes.
Thanks for not only for everything you do in town, you know, I mean, you support Winona. I know personally in more ways than anybody even knows about.
Sure.
And I appreciate that. Yep. But for doing this is really neat. I haven't seen every episode. I will someday when I have time.
Yep.
I'm thinking when I'm up there living during the week, Monday through Friday, coming home on weekends for a while, I'll probably watch all the episodes.
Well, you said that when you were on the very last day of the campaign day or voting day, you were out spinning signs and you had your headphones and you said, I listened to about two or three episodes just doing that. And I'm like, thank you.
That's the truth. I listened to three episodes and I was on the corner. Campaign day, I would have been on Pelzer and Fifth.
Pelzer and Fifth.
In the rain. With my umbrella, spinning it one way, and I put a bolt in the middle of one of my yard signs. You know how remember the old Verizon commercials with the guy with the arrow
that.
And they were
flipping
I probably looked like a dork, and I probably lost some votes, but I didn't care because in the
win's
rain,
a win.
I was spinning the signs and doing sign tricks and doing umbrella tricks. And Jerry Pappenfuss, my campaign manager, was on another corner holding his sign too. And I'll tell you, Jerry is older than your grandpa. And he was out there, and he put 110% on this campaign also. And if I had to thank anybody that helped make it possible, would be my wife and Jerry.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you. Yes. And for those who are listening, look in the show notes. You can find the tour boat website. I'll plug that in there. You can find any information you need to go on to the tour boats. It's a really fun time. Trust me. Even if you're not from Winona, you can learn something about the river and other things, not just the Sun River, the actual Mississippi River. And it's a blast. Or you can charter the boat if you'd like to just have it for yourself. There's also that option too. But I want to thank everyone for tuning in this week to another episode of Brews and Cruise. You can find this podcast on any major streaming platform, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, you name it, I'm out there. But if you'd like to watch our beautiful faces.
Your beautiful face.
Find my beautiful face. You can go on to YouTube.
I got
you
a good face for radio, they say.
You can go on to YouTube and actually watch us and just see what we look like. So that way when you hop on the tour boat, you know who it is that you're talking to. But this has been another episode of Brews and Cruise. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.